Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We have some visitors with us. Amen. Alfred and Delia from Santa Maria, California. We're glad to have you worship with us. Number of things that we need to keep in our daily prayers. One, it has been mentioned that we had been praying for a friend of Shannon's, who her friend Ernie that she works with, he had COVID, and his wife recently just passed away from COVID. And so we need to remember him at this time. Also, the kids are going, Clark County School District is starting back up tomorrow. What a perfect timing. It's toward the end of third quarter. But keep in mind, they're going back to school, and we have, I think, Oliver is actually starting kindergarten tomorrow, so he will have his first day of school. That'll be exciting. It's also Ollie's birthday coming up in a couple of days, so we wish him a happy birthday. We have Miss Ann. She's got a couple more birthdays than Oliver, but not many. And we wish them happy birthday. Before we get started, let's go in prayer. Before we get into our lesson, let me get these turned on real quick. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you be with Shannon's friend Ernie with the loss of his wife. We hope that Shannon will be able to offer words of encouragement to him and help him through this tough time. Dear God, we ask that you be with the kids that will be going back to school tomorrow. We ask that this is a time of excitement, but also can be a little bit of anxiety and so forth. We ask that you be with them, keep the kids safe, protect them from any worldly influences that may come their way. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask as a congregation that you be with us. The things that we, the goals and hopes and dreams that we have to serve you as this congregation is looking for the possibility of either obtaining land or building a building, we ask that you be with us in this effort. We ask that you be with us as we continue to prepare ourselves. For that, we ask that you be with our congregation as we prepare to someday have elders. That let each man be doing what he can to prepare himself to someday serve you. Dear God, we ask that you be with us in this lesson today. We pray everything be done in spirit and in truth, and pleasing to you, and glorify you. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to look today a study in personalities. We're going to look at, our scripture reading that was read earlier. Paul wrote to the Romans, says, if it is possible... If it's possible, meaning that sometimes it's not possible, but if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, this is not the lesson, but it does apply. If you're going to have a strife between you and another person, don't let it be because of you. There are some people that are just porcupines. That no matter how you get along, they're just porcupines. Not everybody's a fluffy, soft little rabbit. But I would like to do a study, a look today, and I'm going to have to talk fast because this is kind of a long one sermon, but a short two sermon. And I'm going to get it done today. A look at Mark, Barnabas, and Paul. And keep in mind the words that Paul had written there in Romans. As much as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Mark was a companion of not only Barnabas, but also of the Apostle Peter and of Paul. He wound up abandoning Barnabas and Paul on their first missionary journey. Peter, in 1 Peter, referred to Mark as my son. Not his biological son, but somebody that he was very close with. I picture Mark and Peter very similar to like I picture Timothy and Paul. He was the author of the gospel that bears his name. We are studying lessons from the book of Mark right now in our Sunday morning Bible class that Preston's teaching. Now, this is not in Scripture, but historically, it has kind of spread down through the ages that he established a congregation in Alexandria, Egypt. But that's not said in the Scriptures. Barnabas, we see throughout the book of Acts, he is in Acts 4 talked about. He's referred to as the son of encouragement, and he was a Levite. And in those early days of the church, he sold land that he had and gave the money to the apostles to use as they saw fit. Paul, we know quite a bit about Paul. He was an apostle, wrote most of the New Testament, went on four missionary journeys, and established many congregations in the Mediterranean region, and wound up being martyred, died for his beliefs. In Acts 9, we see that the people didn't trust Paul. After his conversion, it was Barnabas that supported Paul to the apostles. So here is a man that through inspiration of God being told, here is a man that stood up for Paul. You know, a man that had ravaged the church. And he endorses Paul to the apostles. They were sent to Antioch to inform Christians that the gospel was for the Gentiles. They encouraged them to remain faithful and to continue in the Lord. He was a good man, as it said in 11:24, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Verse 25, we went to seek Paul, to seek him out, brought him to Antioch. I tell you, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall for this year, being taught by Paul and Barnabas. Wow. The things, the power that must have been. They assembled a year and taught a great many people, and there at Antioch, they were first called Christians. The Christians in Antioch sent relief. They took up a collection to help the Christians in Judea, and they sent that money with Barnabas and Paul. They trusted them that much to send a good deal of money that they had gathered, that they had sacrificed to give to other Christians, they sent it with Barnabas and Paul. They returned from Jerusalem and brought Mark with them to work in the kingdom. It says in Acts 13 how the Holy Spirit separated Barnabas and Paul for the work that he had called them to do. In Acts 13, they encounter Sergius Paulus, and it describes him as an intelligent man and who had sought to hear the word of God. And later on in verse 12, it says, and he believed. They were powerful. These were two, I guess a term that I think of today, alpha males. They are powerful men serving the kingdom of God. The Jews, in chapter 13, kicked them out of the region. The people in Lystra thought of them as gods. They called Barnabas Zeus, called Paul Hermes, the gods of war, wanted to sacrifice to them. They refused. Tell you, that right there shows the kind of people they were. Just like John the Baptist had such a gathering and a following. He deferred everything to Jesus. People were wanting to sacrifice to these two. They refused. Told the crowd, we're men. We're not gods. And then they taught them. They just didn't accept that. They taught them properly. In Acts 14, the Jews wound up stoning Paul and left him for dead. And after this, after it healed up, they left for Derbe. They would encounter many, many different, I guess what we would call adventures on their journeys. In Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas argued with the Christians over whether the Christians had to be circumcised or not. The entire book of Galatians is written about that topic. People were teaching that to be a Christian, you had to continue with the practices of Judaism, to be baptized, to keep the feasts. That to be a Christian, you had to be a Jew. And they're saying, no, you don't. You know, it is opened for all. That they were sent to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles over this issue. Then after that, in Acts 15, the apostles sent Barnabas and Silas with them, basically as credibility, that to confirm that what Paul and Barnabas are saying is correct. Silas wound up staying with them in Antioch. Barnabas returned and helped preach the word of the Lord, as it says in this passage. Then you have the critical moment, a division over Mark, a personal issue. All of those verses that we've just looked at was solely to establish the power and the reputation these two men had. And now, with all the history they had behind them, the effectiveness, the power that they displayed for God, they're going to disagree. Over scripture, over doctrine, not at all. It would have probably been a knockdown, drag-out fight to the finish if it was over doctrine, which it should have been. This is over personal desires. In Acts 15, starting in verse 36, says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. So far, so good. Sounds like a good plan. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. They disagreed over whether Mark should come or should not come. Not scriptural, not doctrine, not part of the plan of salvation. Barnabas wanted to take Mark. Paul said, I don't want him coming for whatever reason. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. You've got two very strong, dedicated, faithful, sound leaders of the church disagreeing. They parted ways. They didn't, or at least according to Scripture, we don't see them fighting each other. We don't see them calling each other names. They just decided to go their own ways. They both continued to work in the kingdom. We see that just because they disagreed, it did not keep them from serving God. They disagreed. We're going to disagree. We're going to disagree over apple or pumpkin pie. About as silly as, well, not as that silly as Mark. Mark had abandoned them. Barnabas wanted to give him another shot. He was known as the son of encouragement. Maybe nurture him along a little bit. Maybe he can do it now. Paul, for whatever reason, he might hinder us. He's not up to the task. They parted ways. We're going to disagree over color of the carpet. We're going to disagree over likes and dislikes, where the brothers get together and go to eat lunch, political parties, what we like to do in our free time. There's all sorts of ages. There's all sorts of, there's men and women, age differences, people brought up in different ways. They continued serving God. And they didn't let that stand in their way. Then they were at least Mark and Paul reconciled. One of the greatest and they lived happily ever after stories of the Bible. Okay? I love this. They were reconciled. We don't have a lot of evidence about what happened with Barnabas after this. Just not a lot written. But Paul and Mark patched things up. About 12, 13 years later, Paul will write in Philemon, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. In Colossians, he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Welcome him. Doesn't say, if you run across Mark, don't let him come in. You know what? You know what he did back 15 years ago with me? Sounds silly, doesn't it? Sounds silly, doesn't it? Okay. Just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Have you ever heard Christians do that? You know what he did to me? You know what that guy, brother so-and-so, did to me 35 years ago? I've seen it where the kids of people are at odds with people of another family in the same congregation. Well, your dad said something to my dad back before we were born. That's why I don't like you. Now, I'm kind of simplifying it a little bit over things, over people, not over doctrine, over personalities. Along with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Mark obviously has grown up a little bit. He is an aid to Paul. And in 2 Timothy 4:11, he's writing, this is the last recorded letter that we know of the Apostle Paul before he was killed. He says, only Luke is with me. He's writing to Timothy, his beloved Timothy. He says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. The man that he parted with Barnabas over is now useful to me for ministry. What a great ending to the story. What a wonderful ending. And we today can take some lessons away from this study of just personalities in the Bible. That you can disagree over personal issues. A lot of times it's usually silly, but you can. Don't let that hinder you from working together in the Lord. Don't let anybody or anything keep you from serving God the way you need to serve God. Don't measure people by your standard. Obviously, Mark didn't measure up to Paul's standard for whatever reason. Paul might have been warranted in this. Maybe Mark wasn't ready to go with them that next time. He obviously wasn't ready to go with them on the first journey because he wound up abandoning them. You are allowed to patch things up and move on. You don't have to hold and dig your heels in and stick to your guns. You don't have to do that. You can patch things up. And people can and should grow and mature. Just because Mark abandoned them at one point in his life didn't mean that he couldn't have grown. Look at the man he became. A companion of the Apostle Peter, calling him my son. Paul telling Timothy, only Luke's with me. You come, get Mark, and bring him. He's useful to me. You can grow. You can. Don't know if you got as much out of this as I did. I loved this study as I was doing it. Kind of a study in personality traits. A study in human action, behavior, all straight from the Bible. Maybe something some counselors and psychologists could learn from this. A lot of things in the Bible. The lesson is yours. Hopefully you'll be able to take this with you this week and maybe look at people a little different. Not let anything affect you in your serving God. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through identifying with us here at South Valley to work and worship with us. Frank and Armita did last week, and we welcome them. if you need to repent of sin in your life, whatever your need, if you need prayers of the congregation, anything we can do for you, please come forward and let your needs be known while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.